The social program, and Maulana Ibrahim Baham is with us in the studio this morning. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and assalamu alaikum to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
It's good to have Maulana with us this morning. How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah has been kind. Rather hectic coming in today. There was an accident, so I got a little bit delayed. There was an accident on the road, so it took us 5-10 minutes to get through that. So, a little bit rushed as you came in. So I hope I'm not huffing and puffing.
The topic that we're speaking about this morning on the program, understanding taqdeer and its role in reducing anxiety. Now, we know that for a believer, this is an important part of our deen, to believe that everything happens or whatever has happened and will happen, does so with the will and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, as Muslims, we have grown up with a belief that whatever good or bad comes upon us, it is divinely decreed. وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. It's something that we have learned in Iman and Mufassal. I don't know how many people still remember or memorized it or know it. But وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Whatever comes upon you, it is divinely decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a basic tenet of our faith to believe in qadr, which is known as what we normally translate it as decree, judgment, ultimate destiny, predestiny. Right. One of the things that I must say from the very beginning and from the very outset on this, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day came into the masjid and saw people debating about taqdeer. What is taqdeer? What are its ramifications? What is the meaning of it? And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, people in the past were destroyed by delving too deeply into taqdeer. Right. So what I'm trying to do is firstly just to give a very easy understanding of taqdeer. Right. I gave a bayan on it about a month or so back, and some people felt that it tried to make a very intense discussion, trying to making it easy. What exactly is taqdeer? Because and the reality is that even in our history, this aspect of taqdeer has led to many schisms. Anyone who becomes an alim knows that there were among the very first schisms in Islam, was the schism on this aspect of taqdeer. What is the meaning of taqdeer? So you had one group known as the Qadariya. The Qadariya believed that human being had the power to do whatever he wishes. He is not bound by the power of and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qadariyas believe in absolute free human will. Everything happens only by his will. And Allah does not have any power and authority over his will. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat disagreed with the Qadariya. Right? Then you had the Jahamiyyah. The Jahamiya believe that, the Jahamiya most likely, that a person has no power at all. He is merely a stone or a brick. The way a brick is in the middle of the road and got no free will to do what it wants. So they believe in absolute determinism and fatalism. All right? We have no control over our actions. It has already been predestined. It has already been mapped out for us. And we can't do anything about it. Each of these groups are completely extreme and misguided from the Sharia. Right? If Allah has no control, as the Qadariya believe, the Qadariya says that we have all complete free will. Allah doesn't have any power and authority, then why make dua? If you got full will and power to do whatever you want, then why make dua? Why plead to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your circumstances? Why plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about a better situation? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, Allah give us good in this world. Why do you plead if you believe that Allah doesn't have any power and control over your actions and your destiny? So that is completely false. On the other hand, If, for example, the Jahmiyyah say that we have absolutely no, we are just like stones, then why do good deeds? Why make intention? Innamal amalu bin niyat. So this is completely, in fact, it will be quite surprising, Maulana, that even in today's time, there are rigorous academic debate on this, which is known as determinism. What is the meaning of determinism? So you find that people have discussed this in universities. It becomes, however, what we need to understand, we have taken a moderate path, right? And the moderate path upholds the power and sovereignty of Allah and the responsibility of humankind. It brings about, it's a middle course between upholding the power of Almighty Allah, the sovereignty of Allah. Everything happens with the will of Allah. Wa huwa al-qahiru fawqa ibadi. He has full control over his bondsman and his creation. Wa huwa al-qahiru fawqa ibadi. And at the same time, it also takes into account وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكْرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever does good deeds, Allah will make him see the reward of their good deeds. So the right balance is to get the balance between the power of Almighty Allah and human beings' responsibility to do good deeds. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one day asked about human free will. How much free will do you have? So Ali radiallahu ta'ala asked the person, he said, get up, put your leg up and stand on one leg. So he did it. So lift up the leg. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala then said, right, now lift up the other leg. And he stand up and said, how are we going to do that? So he said, that is the balance. Allah has given you that much free will and don't give you more than that. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. The primary meaning of the word takdir is to make a thing according to a measure, to do deeds which is done according to a measure. So this is something that we have to consider. But it has very great repercussions in terms of our understanding of affairs. And I will try my utmost to try and understand how, as the chapter in the book speaks, believe in the divine will and decree, both good and bad. Believe in the divine is a chapter in the book which we are doing in today's program, because it is a chapter in the book, and we have decided that we are going to do selected chapters of the book, and inshallah this is one of the chapters. And since I just also had a bayan on it about a month or so back, we will inshallah discuss that in today's program.
To the listeners, we always love to hear from you on the program. This week we are speaking about understanding taqdeer and the role it plays in reducing anxiety. Anything you'd like to know, any of your thoughts that you'd like to share with us, drop us a message on 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. Manaya, can continue?
Yes. Now, taqdeer, as I said, can be defined as an occurrence of events according to predefined measures, standards, or criteria. It is the divine knowledge of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is going to happen, right? And it's an amazing thing. Maulana Sayyid Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, when he came to South Africa, gave a bayan in one of the masajid on takdir. Very, very beautiful. And he said a very interesting thing, you know, which I found very, very interesting. He said that, you know, a person is about to, you know, going somewhere, and then in another minute or two, he's going to fall. Human being doesn't know that. Human doesn't know that he's going to fall. Or when he falls, what's going to happen to him after that? So when he falls, human being didn't know that he's going to fall. So that is the limit of human being's knowledge. You see, you can't equate that Allah Ta'ala didn't know that he's going to fall or not going to fall. So if you say that Allah didn't know what's going to happen to a human being, then you are equating Allah's knowledge to that of a human being. But it's very interesting to know that, well, if Allah knows, how do I know what Allah knows? How do I know what Allah wills? How do I know what Allah has planned? How do I know what Allah Ta'ala has decreed? So what am I supposed to do? And that is something that we need to understand very, very carefully. I hope online it is not very technical. When I did give the fire, one person said, Morana, I had to go back and listen to it on SoundCloud twice just to get the proper understanding of what you are saying. But taqdeer is a very important part. And it has a very, very great ramification. In that bayan of Maulana Sayyid Panan Puri, he gave a very interesting situation. He said, before the event takes place, before something happens, you don't use taqdeer. Then you use complete asbab. After the event takes place, then you take the refuge and you take the consolation and you take the solace of taqdeer. Before it, you don't know. Because you don't know, you use asbab. Once it happens, then you said, "By, it was beyond us." Before it happens, use all the means. And this is what our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam also told the Sahaba, as I will go on to explain.
It's finding that right balance. And we live in a world where you have to do things, that there's a way, there's a system that things work, and you have to follow that system. And if it doesn't go according to your plan, or it doesn't go according to how you wanted it, then we say that was the will and that was the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have full trust in Allah and it was taqdeer. But we don't just sit back and wait for things to happen and then say, you know, whatever is going to happen is going to happen, Ma.
Yeah. You know, one day a Sahabi came to our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, does Allah knows everything what's going to happen?" I said, "Yes, Allah knows." He said, "If Allah knows, why must we do something?" So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, perform good deeds and do things because you don't know what Allah has planned for you. You don't know what Allah has destined for you. You don't know what Allah has decreed or decided for you. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform good deeds because everyone is facilitated in that for which he has been created. Everyone has been facilitated for that which he has been created. So Allah will create the ways and means for you to move towards what Allah has decreed. But you have to make that hosla. You have to take the first step. You have to take that particular way. And you don't know it. So therefore, you must try your utmost in terms of good deeds, in terms of asbab, in terms of means. You have to go and do whatever you need to do. And then you leave it in the hands of Almighty Allah. But till then, you have to go and do it because you don't know. And it's a natural instinct. And it's a normal human instinct that he will do something in which he sees is his benefit, in which he sees that he will be safe from harm. So if you are driving, you are not going to go and drive deliberately, recklessly, right? And go in front of a car or go in front of a truck and say, "If Allah wills and if it is written for me, I'm going to do like that." That's stupid. That's not believing in taqdeer, right? Sometimes people unwittingly drive recklessly, right? Unwittingly drive recklessly, right? For example, they think that, you know, to drive fast doesn't have consequences. It has consequences, you know. I was made to believe that amongst our kabirin and amongst our elders, Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Ji, used to be very particular about this. One day, a person told me of an incident. He said he was driving and he was looking around, you know. So Hazrat Ji told him, "Stop." So he didn't know why he was stopping. So Hazrat Ji, he stopped. And when he stopped, he said, "Now, look around properly." So he said, "You finished, so?" He said, "Now drive."
Yeah. Wow. Ustad also, Ma Suleiman Choksi, Tamil Parakat, was also very particular about this. He wouldn't even... When he was in a car and someone would make zikr, we would tell him, "Bhai, it's not time to make zikr now. Now focus on the road, and then after that you can make your zikr."
So this is something that is very, very interesting. You know, it's so interesting that that's why we make dua. We don't know what Allah decreed, that we ask Allah for goodness. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abbas radiallahu anhu, always ask Allah for afiyat. Always ask Allah ta'ala for peaceful conditions, for goodness. Because there is nothing better than you can ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than afiyat. But you see, now that's the beauty of the understanding of takdir. Till it happens, you don't know. You just use you adopt the means. look at Uhud. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made all the means, right? When he made all the means, he went and he put everything in place. He realized that the strength of the Quraysh was on the horseback, the cavalry, right? The people were on horseback. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid, Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, they were on horseback. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam neutralized them. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam completely neutralized them by putting 50 archers on a very strategic mount overlooking overlooking the battlefield. And those archers, they were so accurate, they were so precise, that every time this cavalry was coming to the fight, straight. So the main strength of the army, they were what now, four times more than the Muslims. Mm. The strength of them were completely neutralized. They couldn't take part in the battle. So now it was a battle between the infantry, only between the people who were on foot. They were on foot. Muslims were far superior and far, far, far more braver. And they were more brave. They were more warrior. They were more courageous. So these completely annihilated them on the verge of winning the war. Right? And then, of course, whatever happened, happened. But you see how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't know the outcome at that time, did all the preparations. Mm-hmm. After it happened and 70 Sahaba became Shaheed, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was obviously said, and then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, إِيَّمْسَزْكُمْ قَرْهُونَ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهُمْ مِثْلُهُ. If you had received wounds, they would also receive wounds. وَتِلْكَ لَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These are the days it happens. You know, it changes. So first you had victory in Badr. Now you have suffered a setback in Uhud. Allah Ta'ala knows that وَقَدْ أَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala is forgiven. Now, before it happened, all the preparation. After it happened, take solace. This is what Allah Ta'ala had decreed. Allah Ta'ala had decreed it for some reason. قُلْتُمْ أَنَّ هَذَا قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. For you to introspect. But it happened with the will of Allah. So before anything happens, makes all the means. After it happens, you take consolation. So in that bayan of Maulana Sayyid Palanpuri, he made mention of this. That takdir, you utilize takdir after the event, not before the event. Before the event, you take the means. But after taking the means, you still say that, listen, I've taken the means. Allah, you told us to take the means. But whether those means are going to be effective or not, it's in your hands. Mm. But you have told us to take the means, and we are going to take the means.
Mm. And whatever situation a person is in, they should try the utmost best and do whatever is possible, plan, use a strategy, whatever it is, put everything in place. And then if things don't go according to that, then you say this was the taqdeer and this was the will and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 29 minutes to the hour of 10, the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Baam. Send through your messages 072-786-1548. That is our WhatsApp number. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. We're going to take an ad break. When we come back, we will continue. This is the social program with Maulana Ibrahim Baam. And this week, we are speaking about understanding taqdeer and its role in reducing anxiety. Any questions or any thoughts that you have, drop us a message on 072-786-1548. Maulana, we just go through a few of the messages that have come through. One of the listeners asking that, I just want to know that what incidents can or cannot be changed by making dua?
The ulama have made mention that there are two types of taqdeer, mubram and muallaq. Right? Mubram means that which is completely determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So there's not going to be any change. And sometimes there are certain, it is mentioned with regard to the takdir, that is muallak. It is conditioned and it is suspense. That this will happen, but if a person makes dua, then Allah ta'ala can change it. And sometimes the person makes dua, this was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because of his dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes it. Ulama have written, however, that is still in the pre-knowledge of Allah. Yes. That see, he's going to make dua and Allah will change it because of his dua. If he didn't make the dua, Allah would not have changed it. So don't regard dua as insignificant. Dua wa mukhul ibadah. Dua is the backbone, and dua is salahul mu'min. It is the weapon for the believer, subhanallah.
Hmm. And then another listener, or actually the same listener, saying that when losing someone in the family. And you've made lots of dua for their full shifa, and you make dua for their long life. And sometimes you make dua for your own long life and your family and so on. What happens to that dua, you know, if that person passes away, and how is this dua accepted?
Yes, many years back, you know, Allah has, in many ways, has blessed me that I remember things quite sometimes vividly. So in 1981, that's quite some time back, as a Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali came to New Town Masjid. That time I was not the Imam, and who do you know how look at takdir work. Mm. I came, and I came from Wombats because I had come from Karachi, and while I was in Wombats, and I after Ramadan, we came and stay in New Town Masjid. Now people might not even know that I went to, there was Maulana Mohinuddin from Muradabad, so he went to sleep at the flat of Abdul Hamid Kaka, so I went to sleep there, right? So in there, Maulana Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave a bayan on how du'as are accepted. So Allah, Allah, it was just something that it stayed with me all the time. That Muhammad Mufti Sahib said there are five ways Allah Ta'ala accept bayans, I mean du'as. One is Allah Ta'ala gives you immediately. So you make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives you immediately. Nabi Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, make dua, Allah Ta'ala grants me hidayah, my mother hidayat. I can't take it. She speaks against you, she speaks against Islam, make dua. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his hand. Abu Hurairah said, the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua, I felt Allah is going to accept the dua. I ran home to see whether I reach home first or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua. Mm. He said, I saw my mother was from the back taking a ghusl, and I said something. She said, wait. And she said, the way she said, wait, I could see a difference between her previous tone, and now I realized that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's dua reached before she had become a Muslim. Sure. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives you something, but there's a delay. So Allah Ta'ala told Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu was salam that I have accepted your dua to destroy Fir'aun. Rabbana tmis ala amwalim wasjud ala qulubim. Oh Allah, put a seed on his heart. Oh Allah, do not let him bring iman until he sees your punishment. Qala qad ujibat da'watukum. Oh Musa, I have accepted your dua. But according to the ulama, one riwayat says 40 years, one riwayat says it happened after 70 years. So sometimes Allah accepts, but the fulfillment takes long. Sometimes you make dua, Allah Ta'ala gives you something better. Right? So for example, your children ask you that we want to go to Disney World for holiday. I'm not saying you must do that, but I'm just saying for an example. Or you want to go to Malaysia, or you want to go to, you say, listen, that is nice. Time Umrah is open, let's go for Umrah. Right? So you listen to them that it's time for holiday, let us go somewhere, and you granted them something better than what they've asked. Right. So you make dua, Allah Ta'ala grant you something better. One hadith makes mention that your person makes dua, and sometimes Allah Ta'ala does not fulfill what he wanted, but Allah Ta'ala saves him from another calamity. So sometimes you make dua, then Allah Ta'ala save you from a calamity because of the dua that you made. And the fifth thing is, Allah Ta'ala accepts your du'as in this way, that Allah Ta'ala keep it in store for you in the year after. In the year after, Allah will say, oh my banda, you made so much du'a, you made so much du'a. I didn't accept it, but now because of the du'a, I will reward you. And then when human being sees the reward of his amal, I mean his du'a, then he will say, wallahi, you know, you shouldn't have accepted any one of my du'as. You should have kept all the rewards only for the year after. So five ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts du'as. Jazakallah for that question.
Mm. And there's just one more message that has come through, Yamaha. The listener is saying that they suffer from very bad anxiety. What had happened was they had committed a sin when they were young. They still make istighfar, but the memory of that sin just keeps coming back.
Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu one day saw a person very, very anxious and in anxiety because of the sin that he had committed. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him that your anxiety is worse than the sin. Your anxiety in feeling, anxiety in which way? To feel remorse of the sin is according to the Sharia. Right? We must feel remorse. At-tawbah to an-nadam. Tawbah means regret. So if you don't have regret with regard to the wrong that you have done, then there is no tawbah, right? So if there is no regret, there is no tawbah. So the cornerstone of tawbah is regret. And when you don't have regret, there's no tawbah. But you are not supposed to feel despondent. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Don't ever feel despondent of the mercy of Allah. إنه لا يأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. If, for example, you feel despondent of the mercy of Almighty Allah, it is a sign of disbelief, not a sign of iman. So my suggestion to you is feel regret, don't feel despondent. Have a regret, but don't feel despondent. Move on. And part of moving on is feeling that Allah, inshallah, not supreme confidence, but some confidence that Allah will accept my tawbah if I am sincere in asking Allah. But you continue asking. Feel the regret, but don't become despondent. Because despondency has certain other repercussions. And part of the repercussions is you lose hope. When you lose hope, then you feel, what's the use of doing something? Why must I continue doing good deeds? Then that is tragic in terms of our spirituality and our spiritual progress.
Continue to send through your messages, 072-786-1548. The lines are also open on 011-854-1548. We are speaking about understanding takdir and its role in reducing anxiety. Now, Maulana, you mentioned earlier on that, you know, after something happens, that is when we say that this was the decree, this was takdir, this was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we should always keep in mind is never to use the word if yes. only I had done this, or yes. if only this had happened.
You know, for example, the one example also I like to quote in this regard, and I quoted it in the talk also, that Bibi Hajra, when she saw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaving her in a barren desert, complete desert, all right? No food, no vegetation, no water. And then she saw Ibrahim alayhi salam leaving, right? And when she saw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam leaving, she was surprised. Are you leaving here, us in a desert, me and my small child here? You know, what's going to happen to us? So she just said that, are you leaving us because Allah told you to leave us? And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam nodded in the affirmative. So she knew, and he said yes. She knew he left us here because of Allah's decision. And when there was no water, she didn't say, I got it from Khalilullah, that he did so and he left me here because of Allah's decision. Let me just wait here. Jibreel alayhi salam will come and he'll bring water. She didn't do that. What she did? She ran up and down. Now that is now understanding the aspect. She knew Allah Ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave her here. And when he said yes, she said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not leave me alone. Allah will look after us. She knew Allah had decided and Allah had told her husband to leave her here, and Allah won't leave her deserted without, you know, taking care of her. But she didn't sit. She went up and down. She ran 7 times, you know, and it was amazing. So she ran, and then Allah Ta'ala, you know, opened up the ways. So this is understanding that, yes, Allah will decree, but I'm going to do my effort to bring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once there was a very old alim, you know, he was in Middleburg anyway, I don't forget the name now. So he used to tell me once, he told me something, he said, you must respect takdir. So he said, if, for example, you advertise that your shop is going to open up past 8 or 9 o'clock, he said, you must be there at 9 o'clock. Don't say that, no, there's no customers come at 9 o'clock. Respect takdir. Come on the time. Respect takdir. Respect, you know, that I have said that I'm going to open up at 9 o'clock, I'm going to open. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will send someone, you know. But once you have advertised it, then go according to that. You know, so it's amazing how this understanding of takdir is amazing. Before it happens and after it happens, then before the decree takes place, we should seek refuge in Allah, make dua to Him, rely on Him, put in the work necessary to achieve a good outcome, because you don't know what Allah Ta'ala has will. But after the decree is fulfilled, we have to accept it and move on. The reality of faith, said our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a hadith which appears in Tabarani, that what has passed you was not going to befall you. And what has befallen you was not going to pass you. What has passed you, you had a lovely scheme to make a big investment, you know. And you had a whole big stuff. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to earn so much. And it didn't work out. It means it was never meant to work out. And what had come upon you was not going to, you know, you know, well, you're not going to be safe from it. The reality of, no, as our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Abdullah ibn Abbas when he was sitting with him on a camel, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوِ اجْتَمَعُوكَ عَلَىٰ عِيَنْ فَوْكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَوْكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. If the whole world were to gather together in order to help you, they would not be able to help you to the minutest until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had written so. And if the whole world were together in order to harm you, they would not harm you even a hair of yours, except if Allah had written so. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجُفَّتِ الصُّحُوفِ. The pens have been lifted and the pages are dry. Subhanallah. What a beautiful. The pens have been lifted. The pages are dry. Allah Ta'ala has decreed. That is going to happen with Allah Ta'ala. Before that, you don't know. You make all the efforts. After it happened, don't even say if. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't even say if. Because if opens up the door of shaitan. And what do we do with regard to it? How does it help? Inshallah, we will make mention of that.
Well, there's a message that has come through here from one of the listeners. They're saying that important discussion that Maulana is having on air. They just want to know that when you've lost someone that's very close to you, like losing a parent or losing a father, how do you deal with that? You can accept that it's still there, but the hurt and the pain is still there.
It would be unnatural if you don't feel hurt. The fact of the matter is, it would not be a natural human instinct for you not to feel hurt. Right? If the Prophet of Almighty Allah cried when his son was on the last stages of his life and he said, Ya Ibrahim, inna li firaqika la mahzunun. O Ibrahim, I am very, very sad by your departure. Inna al-ayna tadma. Our eyes are tearing, our heart is sad, but with our tongues, you will not say anything which shows displeasure to Allah's decree. So for you to feel is natural. If you don't feel, there's something wrong with you. But the fact is that that particular hurt, which or that pain, the pain of separation, must not take us away from, you know, saying things. And someone brought up this also during the course of last week in a discussion with me. He said, Maulana, speak about this, that people said he died an untimely death. Right. Now, that's not correct for us to say. No one dies an untimely death. We always make dua, Allah, oh Allah, you grant us afiyat. You grant us afiyat, a long life with good deeds and good health. Oh Allah, you protect our near and dear ones. Oh Allah, you protect our children. Oh Allah, do not let us see the difficulty of our children. We must continuously make that dua. Right? But that is the reality with regard to it. So, but, you know, when it happens, then we take Sahara and we take the solace of Takdir. Because when it happens, then we start saying that, listen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, in this particular manner, has decreed this. And see, one other thing that I've been normally speaking to a lot of people, I've been to quite a few places, and one of the things that I have to tell people is that, understand the journey. These people are not gone forever, man. You're going to see them, inshallah, one day, if we continue with our good deeds. You know, so just continue thinking that we will see them one day. So in this particular way, Hazrat Muash, Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written Shauq-e Watan. And one hadith that I saw in there was so amazing. And it just tells you how sometimes we don't understand the journey. He said, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, and Thanvi has written this in Shauq-e Watan, that, Ya Rasulullah, since I heard Munkar and Nakir is going to question us on the day of in Qabr, and the grave is going to be constricted upon us. Like we have heard this, that, you know, your ribs will come together. I can't sleep. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, oh Aisha, for the believer, the questioning of Munkar in Nakir kal ithmid fil ayn will be like putting surma in the eyes. Subhanallah. See, now, understand the journey. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Malikul Maut coming to one of the Ansar who was on his last stages. Oh, Malikul Maut, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be compassionate to my companion. As Malikul Maut said, Allah has commanded me to be compassionate to every believer. So now it's a continuation of the journey. You started off from being a soul, that Allah Ta'ala put you in the wombs of your mother. Now when you could move from your womb of your mother to the world, you cried. Because you were thinking, like, listen, that was very, very safe. Right. And comfort. So when you come out, you cried. Another reasons why you cried, to show that you are alive, whatever it is. But you cried because there was a pain of separation. Now from here, you're going to the next stage. You're crying. All the people whom you left behind, they're also going to cry. But it's part of that continuation of the journey. Right? Mm. So from Arwah to the womb of your mother, then into this world, and from this world to the next stage, and then inshallah to our next stage in Jannah, which was where our forefather Adam alayhi salatu wasalam came from. And Allah Ta'ala grant us without any hisab, and you know, the immediately Allah Ta'ala put us in Jannah, inshallah.
Right?
So that is the journey. So this is what we can say with regard. And then continuing, and said, oh Aisha, the pressing of the grave, the pressing of the grave. And this first time I heard this was from Maulana Salim Mangera, Rahmatullah Ali. He made mention of it in one nikah. In fact, it was a nikah of my brother. He sort of said that, you know, this pressing of the grave will be one of compassion, not one of punishment for the believer. And then in this Shauqe Watan, Maulana says that a small child comes to the mother and said, my head is paining. So the mother presses the head of the child. He said that will be the pressing of the qabr. That will be the pressing of the qabr for the believer. It will be out of compassion. Subhanallah. So that is what I can say with regard to what the caller has asked.
Now, when we started the program, we said we speak about taqdeer and the understanding of taqdeer and all of that, and also the role that it helps in reducing anxiety.
Yes. One of the things is that we can imagine what are the steps that we, because of the believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفِسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَاهَا. No calamity befalls on the earth or on yourselves, but is already inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. So one of the things that happened is it is in the hands of Allah. It could have been even more worse. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, whenever any calamity comes upon me, then I think of certain things. And one of the things that I think is that particular calamity could be have been worse. Secondly, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, I thank Allah that the calamity was with regard to my dunya, not with regard to my deen. And then amazing thing Umar radiallahu anhu said, is that any calamity that comes upon me, it can't be worse than the passing away of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After that particular, you know, difficulty, there is no calamity that comes upon me that is more difficult than the passing away of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So think about those who are faced with a greater calamity. And this is what Umar radiallahu anhu said. After Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam's passing away, there is no greater calamity that I can even think of. Subhanallah. So sometimes you look at it in that particular way, it does bring about some form of solace and comfort that comes upon you.
Ma, early on we spoke about dua and the importance of it. Just a message here from another listener saying that sometimes they would wake up in the middle of the night and they wouldn't really lift their hands, but as they lie in their bed with their eyes open, they read silently a few different du'as. Is this also regarded as a du'a?
Very important. Jazakallah for bringing that. I always take comfort from this particular, you know, statement of my ustad, as Mufti Ahmad Rahman Sahab. Mufti Ahmad Rahman Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, was very compassionate, very, very compassionate. And he taught when I learned, and he was my ustad in Mishkat Sharif. So he used to come to the, he used to love the foreigners. So he used to come to the foreigners, and then he used to tell us that, you know, I'm supposed to come to you at least 2-3 times a year, and now I haven't come to people for so long. You know, make me maaf. And then he used to speak to us. And there's one bayan that one of our colleagues had recorded. So I was listening to it sometimes, and once he spoke about pride. So in that one bayan, he was telling us a lot of things. And he used to have to say, now I said, he used to then speak, and then he used to lay down the rules. And then he said, now if people don't, up to pitai hogi, up to pitai hogi. Now if people don't do it, I'm going to discipline you people. You know, and we all used to laugh, you know, instead of taking it seriously. So he told us many things. In that one bayan, one of the things, I don't know why that bayan, nearly everything what he said, I remember. Mm. One day in that bayan, he said, that khadim bano makhdoob mat bano. Khadim banne mein koi jagra nahi, makhdoob banne mein sara jagra hai. He says serve people. When you serve people, you'll never fight. The fight is everyone wants to be served. Everyone wants to be hazrat. That's why they're all fighting. He said, take away that I want to be served, I want to be looked upon on a pedestal. Go and serve the community, go and serve the ummah. and you go, you take competition in serving, you'll see your own fight. The fact that there is fighting between organizations is because of this. Mm. Everyone wants to be Hazrat. Mm. Everyone wants to be the main person. Otherwise, there is no fighting. So what an amazing thing. Then in that bayan, one day he told us, he said, I tell you people to read tahajjud. As students, you people are supposed to be amongst those. But if you can't do it, he said, when you get up at night and it's tahajjud time, then you should, I remember him telling us, at least Rabbah said, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. He said, that much dua, if you get up at tahajjud time, obviously read tahajjud, but if you can't, make this dua. So to the listener, Jazakallah for bringing in, reminding me, my ustad told me the very same thing, that if you can't get up, so at least, so when you get up, and especially people sometimes get up, you know, they say a marathon for an old person is, he sleeps without getting up to go to the bathroom. That's a marathon for you. Otherwise, we all get up now. After 50, 60, you get up. Then at least, if read two rakats, if you can't read two rakats, read some of these duas.
SubhanAllah. Well, just a few minutes left. Anything else more I would like
no,
to...
No, then think about those who are faced with a greater calamity, bringing... look at the blessings that you do have, of which many people are deprived of. Do not give in to the feeling of frustration, which may come with any type of difficulty. فَإِنَّ مَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ إِنَّ مَا الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَ Verily, along with every hardship is relief. Verily, along with every hardship is relief. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Firstly, I always make dua, Ya Allah, never let us see difficulty. It's not easy. In today's time, when we hear people who have difficulty, yesterday we attended a janazah of someone who was in his young and he passed away. We make dua for the family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them sabr. Allah ta'ala grant them the reward with regard to what they are facing. Allah ta'ala grant them marhum and all the marhums who have passed on. May Allah ta'ala grant Ameen. Them the highest stages Ameen. In Jannah. Ameen. May Allah ta'ala make it easy for them. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status. But difficulty in this world is never easy. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always asked for afiyat, and let us ask for that afiyat and make the necessary means to be granted that afiyat, and inshallah, let Allah grant us that afiyat.
Ameen. That brings us to the end of the social program this morning. The podcast of the program will be available on our website and the different social media handles for those that would like to listen to the program again or share it with someone. You can check our social media handles. It's now time for the 10 a.m. news bulletin from the team here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.